This is your station, 88.9 KETR. We're interrupting Morning Edition for just a minute, like we do each and every Thursday morning, to remind you that Mr. Bob Aiken has something to break down. Mr. Aiken, welcome.
We interrupt this program
to bring you more regularly scheduled programs.
For non-obvious reasons.
All right.
In fact, why don't we talk a little bit about non-obvious consequences of Tuesday's elections?
Continuing our discussion that elections have consequences.
They do.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's something that is worth pointing out that, as Will Rogers once said, I do not belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. after the inability of Wisconsin Democrats to agree upon a winning candidate like former U.S. Senator Herb Cole and take two proven losers, including the guy who lost to Scott Walker 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it did cost Walker and his supporters well over $30 million to prove that. $30 million later, Walker had actually improved by 1 point from 52% to 53% after an expenditure of over $30 million, which may give some pause, if not actual cause, about raising that kind of money, which there's been a lot of brave talk about. It's going to cost the billion to billion and a half to do that kind of effort just in the swing states.
Right.
Are they really prepared to spend that kind of money? We'll see. There are two things that come out no matter what happens down the line with how people try to spin the significance of the Democrats winning the Senate but losing the governor's recall election.
Which, by the way, I just felt it was interesting to note that it was the only time in American history that a governor was subject to a recall election and survived it.
Yeah. There had only been three, and right. One of them was in living memory of most of us, was when Gray Davis was recalled and the governor was, in fact, elected governor of California. But one thing, to bear in mind is that there are consequences here. One is that there is definitely going to be a weakening of the support Democrats can count on from public sector unions if this is something that can be repeated in other states.
Mm-hmm.
If they are able to reduce the membership by banning collective bargaining, which has happened among teachers, hospital workers, whatnot, in Wisconsin. If that's the case, it doesn't mean Democrats won't have enough money or even enough warm body volunteers. Some of them may have to be paid now. It just means that they're more dependent upon rich liberals. And yes, there are some. For instance, the well-known Hollywood liberal and the almost as well-known Silicon Valley liberal. But then, of course, there's always that villain of everybody on the right, the trial lawyers. Mm. They'll have plenty of money.
Mm.
But it means that they're more dependent on those sources and perhaps less so on unions like AFSCME, AFT,
mm-hmm.
what have you,
mm-hmm.
who may find their bases somewhat reduced in other states. We'll keep an eye on that. The other thing is that in general about public employees, what's often been referred to as the grand bargain mm-hmm. that was struck really in the 1950s from state to state, and it happened rather quickly, was that as there was pressure on salaries from state to state and school district to school district, the deal was cut and replicated that we're not going to try to match private sector salaries. We will give you the kind of retirement benefits that you might have made working in higher paid private sector jobs, but it's something where you'll lock that in. It'll be less cost to the state or the city or the school district or whoever it might be up front. But over the long haul, it gives you a stable working conditions. It gives you a near guaranteed job and a safe and well-funded retirement. Well, that clearly is something that is about to disappear. Not just the assault in Wisconsin, but what happened Tuesday in two of California's larger cities, in San Diego and San Jose, by overwhelming margins of better than 2-1, they began passing restrictions on future costs on public employee retirement. The idea of somebody getting good advice, be a teacher, be a nurse, be a police officer. You're never going to get rich, but you got job security and you're going to have a good retirement.
Right.
That is now on the way out.
I started to say that used to be, I think, the draw in some cases. I mean, obviously,
sure,
you have some other motives for that, but that mm-hmm. used to be a big benefit.
That's the downside to all this. And it's something that nobody on the other side talks about very much. There was an implied guarantee. that, yeah, we're not going to make that much money, but we're going to have a secure retirement, which is something that is about to disappear. It's that kind of confrontational politics. It's been the subject of a couple of, actually, I think three really good books that are out right now that I strongly recommend. Norm Ornstein has been around for a long time, and his occasional research and writing partner, Thomas Mann. They've got a new book out called It's Even Worse Than It Looks. Well, Ornstein has been probably the least conservative fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and his partner, Mann, has been probably the least liberal at their counterpart, Brookings. They've done interesting work over the years, but if it's even worse than it looks, referring to Congress, does not grab your attention, Robert Draper has an even better title, Do Not Ask What Good We Do, which is a quotation from an early member of Congress, a Federalist from Massachusetts, in 1796, named Fisher Ames. Ames was in a letter about his disgust with Congress and rigid factionalism 218 years ago.
Right.
But the best one that's out right now is by E.J. Dion, who's also, besides writing for the Washington Post, is a fellow at Brookings, called Our Divided Political Heart.
He's also on All Things Considered every, I believe, Friday afternoon as a part of
which we strongly recommend that you tune in for.
Right.
His book is Our Divided Political Heart, which he paints on a broad canvas. And what we have discussed from time to time here about the intrinsic political divisions, tribal, class, religious, in American politics, and as far as that goes, politics anywhere.
Right.
It is not something that is easily dismissed. And if you read only one of the three, get Dion's book. We also should note the passing of Ray Bradbury.
I understood that that happened very
recently. It has happened yesterday. The last of the four great science fiction writers from the mid-20th century, Asimov, Clarke, and Heinlein, had died within the past few years.
Right.
But Bradbury, for those of us who knew and loved his work, whether it was The Martian Chronicles or Fahrenheit 451, he opened the doors to science fiction and into the broader genre of general fiction.
Sure, sure. Well, Mr. Aiken, I hope we do this again next week.
Why don't we do that? Your homework assignment is to familiarize yourself with a map of the Middle East, because as we approach Egypt's runoff presidential election, we're seriously going to talk about that. But go get a map and see if you can identify the Arab states.
All right. We are your station, 88.9 KETR.